Good afternoon, church. Good afternoon. Thank you. It's always good to be back in Singapore and back to the pulpit. In fact, these 2 months is a very good 2 months, you know, because I realized that I spent, I think, as much time in Singapore than in Jakarta. Of course, joining you guys for church camp and now back to Singapore for various things, including coming to the pulpit. You know, but before I go into the word today, just need to make an important leadership announcement. No, they are not asking me to step down. So, but, you know, in the elders' board, every year we invite a certain number of leaders to join the board as elders' observers. You know, they spend a year joining the elders' board like any other elders. They see in all the meetings, all our discussions. And, you know, this is an important scheme because it allows us to really involve more members, leaders in the decisions and understanding how the elders' board work. So over the years, we have invited, you know, many of the leaders to join us, and we have built up, you know, a very strong pool of leaders who understand and together, you know, joining hands with us to push, you know, the things of the church forward. So this year, you know, from 1st July, we have invited two young men and, of course, the wife as well to join us in the elders' board as elders' observer. I need to emphasize that one of them is very young because he's of the same age as me. So if he's young, I'm young. All right? But I think they are with us. You know, I'm going to invite them to stand in a while. I really want you to keep them in prayers. And when you see them after the service, go to them and say thank you for serving us. The first is our pastor in charge of our CP work, Pastor Ivor Peck, is at the back. So he's the young man I talk about, you know, as young as me, right? The second one will be really young, Pastor Yong Yang, our youth pastor. Okay, together, Grace, stand up as well. You know, let's affirm them. Thank you for joining us. It's like that, you know, you buy one, get one free, but getting the husband, the wife comes along too. Okay, so we'll be seated. Lord bless you, and Lord bless your time with us in the elders' board as well. All right, let's turn to the Lord in a word of prayer before we begin, shall we? Father God, we want to thank you for the privilege of coming together as a church family to worship you in your presence, God. We thank you for your presence in this place. Indeed, truly, we want to declare that, Lord, as a church, that you and you alone will be exalted in this place, God. And we declare that, Lord, truly, you are a good God, a God who loves us, who cares for us. So, God, even right now, as we turn to your word, God, we want to ask that, Lord, you prepare our hearts, our spirit, and open up our spiritual senses to hear the word that, Lord, you have in store for us. God, we ask that, Lord, truly, as your word goes forth, it will not come back to you void. You will accomplish every purpose it has been intended in our hearts, in our spirit today. Father, especially, Father, for those of us who need this word in season today, this afternoon, speak to us, for your children are listening. For we pray all this in the Lord's most precious name, and let all God's people say, Amen. Now, many of you in the church would know that I've been doing a series in my sermons this year on the values that we need to possess to do good, in line with the theme that we have for this year. You know, earlier in the year, I've covered the values of generosity and the value of servanthood and how these values are important if we want to do good to others. I've intended to carry on with this series by teaching on the values of kindness, on compassion, on gratitude. You know, all these are important values if we need to understand and internalize if we want to learn to do good and be a blessing to people around us and the community around us. But during the recent camp, the Lord spoke very personally to me on various things. It was, you know, personally a very impactful camp, and I needed the encouragement from the Lord. During the second session, I remember that the worship leader quoted from Psalm 27, verse 4. He said, "One thing I desire, this I will seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." You know, this is a very beautiful verse. And more importantly, this is my favorite life verse. You know, the Lord, I remember at that session, spoke so personally to me using that same verse.
You know, at a very young age, I have declared to the Lord that I want that as the desire of my heart all the days of my life. The Lord spoke personally to me during that worship session, asking me if that is still the desire of my heart. I then realized that while I desire the presence of the Lord, perhaps it might not have been the foremost thing in my life anymore. Other things have begun to crowd out this desire as I grew older and busier. But instead of condemnation, I felt the Lord encouraging me to grow in that desire again. How about you? Is that the desire of your heart? Or was that the desire of your heart? How much do we desire the presence of God in our lives? You know, after the camp, I spent some time reflecting on the verse again, and I expanded this reflection to a study on the entire chapter. So, you know, this week, while I'm prepared for a word to share with you, I didn't feel the release to continue with that series that I've been doing, but instead to take a detour to study Psalm 27 together today, and I pray that it is a word in season for some of us here today. I've entitled the sermon, God is Our Stronghold. God is our stronghold. We will come back to our series next time I speak to you in 2 weeks' time. Is that right? But today, let's turn to Psalm 27 to see what the Lord is saying to us from that psalm. I'm reading from the NIV translation of Psalm 27. It's going to be on the screen. So follow me in reading the Word of God, because we're going to open up the entire passage verse by verse to study, you know, what it means to have God as our stronghold. In verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent and set me high upon the rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of You, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide Your face from me. Do not turn Your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me Your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." It's a beautiful psalm, and many of us have often quoted from Psalms chapter 27, verse 4. But today we're going to look at the entire psalm. I want to share with you two things. I think firstly, we need to understand what it means to have God as our stronghold. David declared God as our stronghold, as his stronghold. We need to understand what it means to have God as our stronghold. We're going to look a little bit more into verse 1 to 3 to understand what it means to have God as our stronghold. Then we will look at verse 4 to 14, the rest of the psalm, to look at how we can learn to dwell within and in the stronghold of God. We need to understand why, what it means to have God as our stronghold. We need to understand how we can then come under the protection of the stronghold of God. Let us look at God as our stronghold, declaring God as our stronghold. I've entitled the sermon, "God is Our Stronghold." Where did I get that declaration from? In Psalm 27, verse 1, the psalmist David declared that the Lord is the stronghold of my life. What he means by that? Before we do that, let us understand the context of Psalm 27 first. Right? The psalm was written by King David. It was clear that David wrote the psalm at a time when he faced great danger and trial. In verse 2, he spoke about how the wicked advanced against him to devour him. He spoke about his enemies, his foes. He talked about, you know, an army besieging him. Bible scholars could not conclude the exact time when this psalm was written, but it was generally agreed that David would have written the psalm either during the period when he was pursued for his life by King Saul or by his son Absalom, you know, when they were both trying to kill him. So it was clear that the psalm was written at a time was when David was facing great danger. The psalm did not describe, you cannot just describe David's physical circumstances. It also described his state of emotional stress at the time. He was in great anguish when he was pursued by his life, by either his mentor or his son. In verse 3, he used the analogy of an army besieging him. Although, you know, there was physically an army besieging him when either Saul or Absalom pursued him, David was trying to describe his emotional state too when he went on to declare that his heart will not fear and that he will be confident. You know, he was describing that, you know, actually, he declared that he will not fear, but, you know, he will have experienced that emotional turmoil and that stress and that fear when, you know, he was being besieged by an army. Hence, this was the context where Psalms 27 was written. David, in great physical and emotional distress. It was in this context that David declared that the Lord is my stronghold. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. And then gave us a glimpse of what we need to do to come under the protection, to have God as the stronghold of our lives. You know, it is important to understand this context because, you know, David was not teaching this value from a position of safety and comfort as a king, but from the pits of a fugitive. You know, very often when we read verse 4, one thing I desire of the Lord is I will seek that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, we have this imagination that we are in this calm, you know, in this state whereby, you know, of comfort that we are invited then to come into the presence of God. But this was not the context. David was teaching that even, you know, in that state of his besiegement, in that state of his great anguish and fear, he can come and seek the presence of the Lord. So that was the context. You must be wondering how you can relate to this. You know, we do not have enemies in our lives. We don't have them pursuing for our lives. I do not have people who betrayed us. But I believe that we can all relate to times of great physical and emotional distress in our lives. Maybe some of you are experiencing it right now. You know, in this just this last week, I learned of two friends whose family members committed suicide because of depression. This is very sad. How are we to manage physical and emotional distress in our lives? This is what we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us today. Let's look at what it means to have God as our stronghold. Who is our stronghold? David said, God. In fact, verse 1, David declared that God is our light, our salvation, and our stronghold. Let us explore them one at a time. Verse 1, the Lord is my light. The Hebrew word used in Psalm 27 in that instance is for light is the word or, O-R, or. It can refer to the physical light that we see, like the light that's shining on my face right now, right? We can, and the light from the sun, light from the street lamp. This is the same word that was used in the creation passage when God declared, let there be light, let there be all. All right? But all can also refer to a symbolic light, referring to guidance, to protection, or hope. One example of the use of the word all as a symbolic light is in Psalms 119, verse 105, when the scripture says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light all to my path. This is referring to the symbolic light of God's guidance. Hence, when David declared that God is my light, He was declaring that God is his guide and the God that who illuminates his path towards justice, towards goodness. It's also a reminder that God is our creator God who called light into being. So when we declare that God is my light, we're not just declaring that God is my guidance, we are also calling into remembrance God is the greater God who is all-powerful, who called light even into being. God is our light. Verse 1 also says that the Lord is my salvation. The Hebrew word used here for salvation is the word Yeshua. Yeshua. It means to save or to deliver. And yes, it's the same word for Jesus, Yeshua. So, you know, this is the Lord is Yeshua. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is Yeshua. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is Yeshua. The Lord is Jesus. You see, when we declare that God is our salvation, we are reminded that we are saved by God and that we are reminded of the eternal grace of God. We are reminded that we have Jesus who is our salvation. The Lord is our light. The Lord is our salvation. Then David declared that the Lord is my stronghold. The Hebrew word for stronghold in Psalms 27 is the word ma'os. Ma'os. It means fortress and refuge. The same word ma'os was used in Nahum 1:7 when scriptures declared the Lord is good, a refuge, ma'os, in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. So the Lord is my stronghold, the Lord is my refuge, my ma'os. Then Psalms 37 verse 9, the salvation of the righteous come from the Lord. He is their stronghold, their ma'os, their fortress in times of trouble. You see, David used the picture of a fortress to describe how God can protect us in times of trouble. He used the picture to describe how we can run to God as our refuge in times of challenge. So that is God, our stronghold. Now let us put this together. Why did David use the descriptors light, salvation, and stronghold to describe God in a time of great distress? I believe that there is no coincidence with scriptures. You know, David could have named all the other descriptors and qualities of God. He could have declared that God is our peace in a time when he has no peace. He could have declared that God is God, his defender, when he needs, you know, the defense of God. Why did he choose to praise God for being our light, our salvation, and our stronghold? I believe that this was inspired by the Spirit of God, as with all scriptures. What is the first thing that God called and declared into being in Genesis 1? Light. Let there be light. Right? What did Jesus give us when he declared that it is finished? Salvation. When Christ come again, as described in Revelation 22, the very last book of the Bible, what will happen? There will be an ultimate judgment, redemption, and salvation will be complete. So when we declare that the Lord is my light and my salvation, we are remembering that God is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And between the beginning and the end, David is declaring, God is my stronghold. From end to end, we can trust God as our stronghold. God is our light. God is our salvation. And through it all, God is our stronghold. This is the beautiful promise of God, isn't it? For as long as we live, the Lord is our stronghold, no matter our circumstances. This is the truth of God. This truth cannot be nullified whether we are in good times or bad. This truth cannot be nullified whether we are sick or we are well. This truth cannot be nullified whether we are in riches and in poverty. I'm not dismissing challenges in our lives. I'm not dismissing sickness and poverty. But what I'm saying is that we can choose to declare the truth of God. And the truth of God is that God is our stronghold from the beginning to the end. Amen. Amen. Now declare with me. God is my stronghold. Come on. Louder than that. God is my stronghold. Amen. It's important for us to believe that. Because this is the promise of God, that He will be the stronghold in our lives. Now that we have reaffirmed the truth that God is our stronghold, let us explore how we can come under the protection of this stronghold, dwelling in the stronghold of God. We look at verse 4 to verse 14. Look at various things that David is teaching us to come under this stronghold of God, the protection of God. But before we do that, I want to point out, you know, David's use of the imagery of shelters in this passage so that we can better appreciate, right, the rest of Psalm when we study that later. See, verse 4 to 6, it says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." The imagery of a house. "All the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." Temple, a shelter, the temple. "For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe. In His dwelling, He will hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent." Then in verse 6, again, David mentioned about coming into God's sacred tent. You see, he used words like "God is our stronghold." He mentioned dwelling in the house of the Lord. He mentioned seeking God in His temple. And in verse 5, he mentioned the shelter of His sacred tent. Why is that so? See, a shelter gives us protection. And when the Lord declared, when David declared that God is our stronghold, he wants us to imagine and really see that when we do so, we're coming under the fortress of God. When we come into the temple of God, we're coming into the presence of God, you know, where the place where the presence of God dwells. You know, it's that picture of God's cover, of God's protection. You know, we all know, you know, the children's fable of the three little pigs, right? Those of you of at least the vintage of mine, you will know, right? You see, the houses made of hay, wood, and stone give you protection. And when a big bad wolf come, which house do you want to be in? The house made of hay? No, of stone, isn't it? Likewise, the Lord is inviting us to come into a shelter, a house that can never be destroyed. And that is the stronghold of God, the fortress of God. But how? How do we come into that shelter, protection of God? David gave us a glimpse of that. Verse 4 to 6. He said, this is the first thing you need to do, which is to seek the temple of God. Seek the temple of God. David taught that to come under the protection of God, we need to seek, to have the desire to come and dwell in the temple and the presence of God. In fact, immediately after he spoke about his physical and emotional distress in verse 1 to 3, what did David say? "One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." This is strange, isn't it? When your enemies pursue you, where do you want to be? You want to be in a fortress. You want to be in a heavily fortified place that can protect you from the enemy. But what did David say instead? He said, when we are besieged, we need to learn to come into the temple and the presence of God. In other words, he's reminding us that the temple of God, the presence of God, is our real stronghold instead of just a physical fortress. He's not dismissing that the need for you to run and you know, be protected by troops, by a physical fortress. But he's saying the first thing that we need to do is to run to God, because God is our ultimate stronghold and protection. See, when we are facing challenges, sometimes we automatically build up an emotional fortress to protect ourselves. We fence ourselves up to protect ourselves from getting hurt. But instead, David was teaching us that instead of closing ourselves up in self-preservation, we need to come into the temple of God. In times of trouble, we need to let go of our instincts to run and hide. Instead, we need to learn to seek God in His presence. Specifically, what do we do to seek this temple of God? Verse 4, it says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek." David was emphasizing the words "one thing" and this only. God did not say that seeking His presence should be one of the things that we should seek. David is saying that, you know, the one and only thing that we should seek is to dwell in the house of the Lord. When we are in distress, the one and only thing that we should seek is to dwell in the house of the Lord. Because when we're in great emotional and physical distress, only God is the one and only recipe for that protection and that peace of God. You see, humans often look everywhere for refuge. Look to other people for protection. We look to our own intelligence to solve the issue. People who do not have God in their lives then begin to look at other gods and means like feng shui and superstition to protect themselves. We know people can do anything as long as to find themselves being protected from harm, from threat. But what did David say? The one and only refuge is the presence of God. I'm not saying that we do nothing about our situation, but we need to learn to run to the Lord first. I remember one conversation that I had with the late Elder Peter Tan. You know, he was telling me, he said, "Melvin, you know, one of the reasons we do not see enough supernatural healing is because sometimes we know we don't curb our instinct to run to the doctor before we run to the Lord." You know, this is not that, you know, he's not saying that we do not run to the doctor. That is folly, you know. We're not saying that when we are sick, we don't go to the doctor. But he said, you know what is our instinct? When we are sick, the first thing we run to the doctor. When the doctor runs out of solutions, then you run to God, isn't it? Often we do that, isn't it? And so it really dawned upon me, indeed, sometimes it's not that we don't trust God. It's not that we don't trust doctor, but sometimes, you know, our instinct is to run to things that we can see, we can grasp, instead of running to the true protection of God. So that's the first thing we need to do. Seek God first. Seek the protection of God first. Number two, you want to learn to seek God in His presence, learn also to change our gaze. In verse 4b, it says, you know, then teaches us that to find our refuge, we need to change our gaze. We need to change our gaze from everything else to gazing upon the beauty of the Lord. But what is the tendency of men? We gaze at everything else first instead of fixing our gaze on Jesus. So if you want to learn to seek God in His temple, remember that that is the first thing we need to do, and we need to fix our gaze on the beauty of the Lord. You know, I'm a golfer, and let me give you an example with it, although I know not many of you are fans of the game, and some of you think that it's a waste of time, but I'm not going to go into a debate whether golf is good or not, but I want to use the analogy from golf to tell you this thing about gaze. You know, in golf, the objective is to putt the ball into the hole, right? You, ultimately, whatever you do, like, you go to the forest, you go to the water, you just want to get the ball into the hole. Which do you think is more difficult? To putt the ball in from 10 meters or to putt the ball in from 2 meters? The true amateur golfer will tell you that the 2 meters putt is the worst and the most difficult. Why? Because when you look at the hole from 2 meters, suddenly the hole becomes smaller. Suddenly, how come the grass between the ball to the hole, the grass is, you know, kind of grow in a different way that day, you know? Huh? Suddenly you look at, you can see little stones all over in a path, you know, to that 2 meters to the thing. Worse still, when everybody else is staring at you, you say, "Wow, if I miss the 10-meter putt, no problem, normal. I miss the 2-meter putt, malu." Malu. So, as I use, statistics have shown that 50% of amateur golfers miss the 2 meters putt. What am I trying to say? The coach will tell you, stop staring at everything else. Stare at the ball and just putt. You know, easier than done. See, for us humans, it's like that. Often, we fix our gaze and everything else except on what is important, who is God. Sometimes that is our problem. We gaze at everything else first before God. We gaze at the problems, we gaze at the difficulties, we gaze at others wondering what they will think and say of us. We gaze at everything else before we gaze at the beauty of the Lord. I'm not advocating that we do nothing and just hope for the best, but David teaches us that in times of trouble, we should intentionally gaze at the beauty of the Lord. You're not just looking at God for help, but gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And when we do that, what do we see? We see the presence of God around you. We will see the power of God demonstrated. We will see a God who really cares and loves you and will not let you go to harm. We will see God amid our troubles. This is gazing upon the beauty of our God. And what happens when we change our gaze? Verse 5, it says, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep us safe in his dwelling. He will hide us in the shelter of his sacred tent and set us high upon the rock. And our head will be exalted over the enemies who surround us." When we change our gaze into the beauty of the Lord and truly find God in our situation, the Lord's promise is that we will find safety in his dwelling. He will hide us and keep us safe. He will put us on a firm foundation that we will not fall. And finally, God will vindicate us and even exalt us. This is what we need to do when we're in times of trouble. Seek the presence of the Lord and fix our gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. For those of you who knew me for a long time, I am not someone who easily feels overwhelmed, or at least I don't think I am. Sometimes I think my wife thinks I'm too chill for her liking. Do this, wait. Do this, wait. Okay, I'll stop there today. She's there today, okay? Lost the safety of that distance, you know. But, you know, there was one period of my life when I truly felt besieged. In fact, maybe the only time in my life where I felt, when I felt really I was being surrounded and besieged and I was losing control of things. I remember then I was placed in a high-tension but important job responsible for long-term planning for the organization. I was told from the start that, you know, I was given this job as a test to see whether I truly have the potential to go much further. You know, it's not exactly the best start, right? Before you start, you know, they tell you, and this job is to test you, so you better do well. You know, so this was soon after my third son, Ethan, was born. You know, the job was so intense that I was down with bronchitis twice within that year that I was on a job. You know, I would get texts and calls from senior bosses past midnight and on weekends. I worked 14-hour days regularly on most many of those days. And yet, I was still expecting myself, I was putting pressure on myself, saying, no, I'm not going to miss out the important growing up years of my children. I want to make sure I'm there for them. I do not want to cut back on my responsibility in a church as an elder and overseeing the youth church then. You know, the last straw came at the end of that 1.5 years when my mom was sick in the hospital suddenly, and I couldn't even spend much time with her in the last week she was in the hospital, not knowing that, of course, she will pass on. I felt besieged almost for the first and only time of my life. One morning, soon after my mom passed away, I was driving to the office. And remember, I was praying as it was my routine when I drive to work. I felt led to go into a time of worship instead that day. What happened? And I worshiped the presence of God. Came into the car. As I drove, I could not stop weeping in the presence of God, and I knew the presence of God was right there in the car, so much so that I had to stop the car at the side and just let God and the Holy Spirit deal with me, just God and me. And I told God at the time, I said, God, I miss this presence so much. I miss your presence just like this so much. For the first time in a long while, I felt lifted for my besiegement, when the presence of God was in that place. That was when I realized that in that period, instead of running to God in his temple, I tried to soldier on with my strength and my wisdom, thinking that I could hold out. Instead of fixing my gaze upon the Lord, I look everywhere else for help. I told God that, you know, this routine was drawing me away from what I really enjoy, His presence and my precious time with my family and friends and in church. And I told God at that juncture, I said, God, I'm ready to give up, you know, what the bosses has planned for me. In fact, I say, okay, I will drive to the office. I'm going to tell the boss, this is it, enough. Okay, you can take back whatever you have planned for me. But actually, that was escapism. You know, God then revealed to me, I was trying to run away. And what I needed to do is to trust God. Come into His temple, into His presence, and to trust Him. I felt a peace coming over me, and I drove on to the office. You know what happened next? I reached the office. So, and I was in this half mind whether to walk to the office and talk to my boss. And enough, right? My boss called me in. He said, come to my office. Hey, before you want to say anything to me, I want to tell you something. This morning, very strangely, my boss, his boss, my big boss, called me and said, I think, well, Melvin had done enough in his job. It's time for him to move to the next job. And then, true enough, and to cut the story short, went to the next job, and it's a job that I had the most liberty to do a lot more in the family, the work, and church, and all. And it so turned out to be the job that I've received the biggest performance bonuses in my whole life. You know, this is a blessing of God, but more importantly, God was teaching me. God was teaching me that I need to learn to run to the right shelter, to the right stronghold when I feel besieged. It was an important lesson in my life. So this is the invitation that God is giving us. You know, no matter where you are right now, how besieged you feel, the invitation of the Lord is to run. Come into the temple of the Lord and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Let me leave you one more thing before we move on to the next point, right? In verse 4, in 4b, he also say that we are to dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? For when? All the days of our life. When do we learn to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord? Only when we are in distress or trouble. Instead, David encouraged us to do so all the days of our lives. Some people do not look to God when they are in trouble. Some people only look to God in times of trouble and forget the beauty of God's presence in good times. We are asked to gaze upon that beauty all the days of our lives. And when we learn to do that, we will experience the protection and the assurance of His cover all the days of our lives. And verse 6, it says, our head will be exalted over the enemies that surround me. And then we can then have the shouts of joy and to sing and to make music unto the Lord. You know, I've always wondered how David could find the strength in him to worship God even in the most difficult of situations. You know, David worshipped God when he was confronted of his sins. He worshipped God when his child died. He worshipped God when he was pursued for his life. He worshipped God when he was betrayed. How did he find that strength? Psalms 27, verse 4. He had chosen to seek the presence of God in his temple all the days of his life. It was a choice. And that gave him the strength to even praise God in all the situations that have fallen in his life. Are you following me? You look very serious. Turn to your neighbor and say, seek God's presence. Come on. Let me move on. Stay with me, all right? A little bit more. I think about 10 more minutes, we're done. Let's move on. After we learn to come into the temple of God, and to set our gaze upon the Lord, what else do we need to do when we are in the protection of God? Verse 7 to 12, David says we can then seek the guidance and the mercy of the Lord. After we seek the presence of the Lord and we come into His temple, David then demonstrated in that shelter of God's temple and presence, we seek the guidance and mercy of the Lord. Verse 7, he says, hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. Verse 8, it says, seek his face, your face, Lord, I was sick. This is when, you know, we come before the presence of the Lord and make our plea. You see, we not only just come into God's presence and enjoy the protection of God, it is also the place whereby we make our plea unto the Lord. And when we make our plea unto the Lord in his temple, we are just bringing then our situations before the Lord. And say, Lord, this is my plea. This is my yoke. Exchange it with me. David showed us that we should seek the face of God. And when we do so, we can then be bold to make our plea. You must remember that David made this bold declaration in the Old Testament when only the high priest make atonements and the supplications on behalf of the people. But for us, you know, we have been made the royal priesthood through salvation in Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 reminded us. And as the priesthood of God, we can come boldly into the presence of God. And when we come boldly into the presence of God, we make our supplications before the Lord. This is when we bring our situations before the Lord in the temple of his holiness. We can be bold to seek the presence of God, and when we do so, we make our plea before the Lord. Look at verse 11 and 12. David demonstrated how he made his plea before the Lord. He said, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. David made his plea before the Lord for guidance, for deliverance. What is your plea before the Lord? A plea to intervene in a situation. During a church camp, I prayed for a few of you who have been crying out to God for your children. Are you pleading for them? Are you pleading with God for a medical situation? Are you pleading with God for a miracle? Today, as we learn to come into God's presence in his temple, we must also learn to then boldly bring our plea before the Lord. At the elders' board, we are updated on pastoral cases, and we bring these pastoral cases to the Lord in prayer. All right, we see miracles in the lives of some of those, you know, we prayed for. Recently, we witnessed the Lord's deliverance in what we thought was an impossible situation for one of our church members, but the Lord intervened and exercised mercy. There are also cases whereby we plead long and hard with the Lord, but the outcome was not what we hoped for. But the Lord alone is God. We do not understand why he answers some of our pleas and not others. But David is teaching us that we can be bold to ask for the presence of God, and in that presence, we make our pleas. When we come before him to make our pleas, we are coming to God, our stronghold. We can leave then our situation with him. David chose to run into the presence of God and made his plea before the Lord when he was pursued for his life. Will you run into the presence of God and make your plea before him? Let me say one more thing before I move on to the next point. Some of us know that we can come into the presence of God and make our plea, but we are afraid to do so. You do not do it because you are afraid to do so, even though you know you can come before God and make your plea. Why? We are afraid to do so because we think we might not be worthy of his help. Verse 9 to 10, Psalms 27, it says, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. What did David teach us through these verses? Do not be afraid to come before the Lord, even though we think we might be undeserving of his mercy and help. Even when we think God might be angry with us, David is showing, do not be afraid to come and make your plea before the Lord. Maybe our current challenge is because of our folly and mistakes. As such, we might be afraid or embarrassed to come before the Lord to plead. But David reminded us that even when our father and mother can forsake us, the Lord will receive us. As such, we can all choose to come boldly into the shelter of God, make our plea, and make God our stronghold. If you feel unworthy of God's intervention, hear these words today. the Lord will not reject you. He will not forsake you, and He will receive you. These are the words of the Lord, not mine. And I speak that into your spirit this day. Let me move on to the last thing I have for you today. All right, stay with me. What do we do when we make, after we make our plea before the Lord in the presence of God? Two more things that we need to do in the stronghold of God. That is to be confident of God's goodness and wait for His deliverance. Verse 13 to 14. Verse 13, it says, I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We must keep reminding ourselves that God is good and we will see the goodness of God. This is the immutable truth of God. Even when it is difficult to declare this, we must declare it because this is the truth, that our God is a good God and we will see the goodness of God in your life, in your situation, in whatever you're going through. We will see the goodness of God. And verse 14, David then say, having done all these things, after you come into the temple of God, gaze upon His beauty, make your plea before the Lord, be confident. David say, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. You realize David mentioned waiting for the Lord two times, right in that verse. Why? Because it is a difficult thing to do. And this is the final thing that we need to do to dwell in the stronghold of God, that is to be patient and to wait for God's deliverance. David knew that waiting for God's deliverance might not be easy. That's why he mentioned it twice. It takes courage, faith, and encouragement to keep waiting. And that is where, you know, family members and friends become so important. It's not so easy sometimes to wait on your own. That is when family, friends, church members, leaders, members, we come alongside each other to encourage one another, to stand with one another. We choose to believe together for God's mercy and deliverance. So learn to stand together in that waiting. But above all, David reminded us to remember that our God is good. You see, what's the difference between waiting after we learn to come into God's presence? It's not just waiting in vain for a solution. But David is saying, wait in the right place. And where's the right place? Come into the presence of God. See the beauty of the Lord. See that He is God who is a good God. You make a plea. And you, in that temple and the presence of God, you can wait in confidence. It's not just waiting, but wait in the confidence of a God who will deliver us. In conclusion, as I invite the worship team to just come and you can put aside your notes and maybe take the opportunity to just let some of these things that we've shared, you know, to sink into our spirit, especially if you believe that, you know, the Lord is speaking specifically to you this afternoon. You know, today I believe that the Lord is issuing a very special call to those of us who need to come into the stronghold and the shelter of our Lord. Maybe for some of you, there are great storms in your lives right now. Things are falling apart in our lives. Relationships are being torn apart. The emotional turmoil is great within us. You know, as I prayed for you, even this morning, I felt that some of us, maybe you here, are so badly affected by your situation that you're even suffering from insomnia, not being able to sleep at night because you know it's bothering you so much, so deep. But you know what? I believe that the Lord is speaking to you today. God was, you know, David was experiencing all these stresses, distress, turmoils in Psalms 27 when he wrote that. He was pursued for his life. He was betrayed by the people closest to him. He was in great emotional distress, not knowing if and when it will end. But he knew what he must do. And today, let us draw inspiration from his example. He encouraged us to seek the presence of God in his temple. It is because the presence of the Lord is the true stronghold in our lives. It is where we truly receive the protection of God and where we will experience the peace of God amid the storms in your lives. He encouraged us to boldly seek His guidance and His mercy and to make our plea before the Lord. Do not be afraid to make our pleas before the Lord, because God reminds us today that He will not reject us and He will receive us. And then, having done all that, we need to be confident and to wait patiently under the shelter of the Lord Almighty. Some of us will receive the deliverance of the Lord immediately, but some of us will still have to wait. But one thing is sure, and we need to believe that our God is a good God. Our God is a good God. My God is a good God. No matter what is around me, my God is a good God. No matter what happens next, my God is a good God. That is the immutable truth of the Lord. Declare it in our spirit. Let it be the fundamental belief in our spirit, man. To say, God, I will come under the protection and the shelter of the Lord Most High, because Lord, You are a good God to me. Because He is our deliverance. He is our light. He is our salvation. And He is our stronghold. Right now, I just invite all of us to close our eyes, maybe bow our heads, and we are okay, we've still got some time left. I just want to give us some time to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. For some of us, I really think, you know, the Holy Spirit today is inviting you to just come and lay your situation before the Lord and say, God, turn my eyes. Turn my eyes to You today, God. I'm going to go off the air. Let the Holy Spirit speak. Speak to us, Lord. You know, with our eyes closed, I really feel that the Lord is speaking very specifically to two groups of us today. First group of us, you know that you have been struggling. I see a picture even right now, almost us beneath the water, and I feel that, you know, God, I'm almost drowning. I'm suffocating. But you know, today the Lord is inviting you to come and lay your burdens before the Lord and say, declare God as your stronghold. And let God fight the battle for you. But you need to learn to first choose the first step of coming into the presence of God and leave your plea down there before the Lord and declare, and God, You are my good God. If that's who You are, I want you to respond to the Lord later when I call for it. You come to the Lord and say, God, I want to trust You. You know, my heart, my eyes tells me it's so difficult. The second group of you, I believe that some of you maybe here have not known Jesus Christ or given your life to Jesus Christ. And today you hear, you know, me talking about a God who can truly be your fortress, be your deliverer, be your protection. Today, would you just give your heart to this Jesus who is our salvation, the one who loves you and cares for you. Maybe the Lord is calling you to respond to His call today, to give your life to Him. Right now, I just invite you to open your eyes and just invite you to rise to your feet. We're going to sing the closing song as a response to God who is our refuge. Now, we're not going to drag that, but I want to really give us an opportunity to respond to God if, you know, I think some of us really just need to make that stand before the Lord. Say, God, I surrender. And you need someone to come and stand with you, to pray with you. Right? If you have a situation, you say, God, today I want you. I need you to be my stronghold, my refuge. I want to come to you for that refuge. Would you come? As soon as we sing, I want you to come to the altar. The elders and the pastors will pray for you. The second group of you, if you are not given your life to Jesus, you say, today, I want to find out more about this Jesus whom you are talking about. I want you to come. If you have brought a friend who has not given the life to Jesus, you know, you come with a friend, right? You ask a friend, would you want to come? You pray. We're going to pray together with you. All right? We shall sing. We're not delayed. And now I'll close the service. Let's worship the Lord. Right, the altar is open. If you need to respond before the Lord, just come. Right? It's a response between you and God. Just leave it be with the Lord. Say, Lord, be my refuge today, shall we? Sing the song one more time and declare it, right? It's our faith position. The Lord is speaking to you. The altar is open still. Just come, right? We stand with you. Forever in your heart, I can never fall away. For your faithfulness and your faith for I say out loud, you are my strong tower, you will rescue me, Yahweh. I will not grow faint, but my heart grows stronger as I choose to see your face.
Yes, Lord.
For I said out loud,
you are my strong tower, you will rescue me, Yahweh. I'm about to faint, but my heart grows stronger as I just see your
face. Come, let me pray for you and close the service. Now after the service, if you have any prayer needs, right, or you still want to respond to the Lord, just come to the altar. There will be our pastors and elders to pray for you. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your presence in this place. We want to thank you for your ministry in this place. We want to thank you for your reminder today that, Lord, you are for us and not against us. That, Lord, you are a good God who is always our refuge, our stronghold, our strong tower. And today, Lord, you will teach us in all the days of our lives to choose to always fix our gaze upon the beauty of our Lord, our God, our defender, our peace, our salvation, our light, our stronghold, Lord. Lord, even as we depart from this place, Lord, bless us with the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit today and all the days of our lives. For we pray all this in the Lord's precious name. And let all God's people say, Amen.